first time we learn something new, we're a little bit awkward, a little bit uncomfortable, because we don't know what we're doing, and for the most part, we like to do things that we can do successfully, and oftentimes when we are doing something for the first time, we don't feel confident that we can do that. So when we were in school and we learned how to type, first few days, first few months, really, we're very uncomfortable. But if we listened to the teacher and we did it the way they taught us to do instead of the way that we were more comfortable doing it, gradually we gained the ability, which God uses the term wisdom to talk about. Of course, we're not going to talk about secular things. We want to talk about spiritual things that we're not comfortable with. Things that we have learned how to do, things that we are good at doing, but things that God wants done differently. And as we try to do that, we feel awkward. And not only do we feel awkward, but sometimes we feel inept. Because we're trying to change thoughts, or we're trying to change responses, or we're trying to learn how to do something, how to talk to people about things that we don't know how to do very well. And so God says, get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all your getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. Now, this is the key, and that's why I introduced the lesson the way I did. We are not always comfortable seeing things, doing things, the way that God says that they are. Because most of us grew up in a world where God played very little role. And so, what exactly is wisdom? Well, I'm going to break it down into three steps. The first step is to learn all the facts, and sometimes they're new facts. Sometimes they're things that we have never thought of before, or things that seem completely foreign to us, things that we might say in our own minds, that doesn't even make sense to do it that way. But as we learn the scriptures, we learn the new facts, then we have to start applying them, start having to apply them to our lives. And that's where it gets uncomfortable sometimes, because we are comfortable with things we can do well. And the things we can do well are the things that we've always done a certain way. And when we decide we're going to have to change that way, initially, it doesn't feel comfortable. And oftentimes, we tend to go right back to the way we used to do things because that's the comfortable way. But the third step is to gain experience through application until that becomes the comfortable way. And looking back on the way we used to do it is embarrassing. We feel very foolish because we were wrong. So there's a tipping point or a transition point where we are uncomfortable with the wisdom that God is giving to us and comfortable with our own wisdom. But sooner or later, if we keep working at it, if we get wisdom, if we get understanding, if we pray for wisdom, if we try to bring it into our lives, pretty soon the old ways are uncomfortable and seem very foolish, and the new ways have become the comfortable ways. So our first use of wisdom, and I'm not going to spend much time on this because I introduced it a little differently than I intended to, but we go to school, we learn the 9 numbers, or 10 numbers, excuse me. We learn the signs for adding, subtracting, multiplying, and dividing, and as I say, it's very uncomfortable. Get a lot of check marks on there because it's wrong. We look back on that now, and it's very simple. And so as we move this into the spiritual realm, God speaks of the wisdom of this age. The wisdom where we open doors into sin And we become very comfortable with that sin. And that sin becomes normal. And being good at that sin is considered to be sophisticated, wise, good at what you do. And then we find out, because we've been on the receiving end. There are some people who are experts in malice. They know how to make us hurt. They know how to say things that are cutting. They know how to take their emotions of jealousy and bitterness and gossip about it. And that's comfortable for them. But then there's the wisdom from the Scriptures, where we use Scripture. And suddenly we find out, you know, gossip, which seems so comfortable and seems so good, and I'm so good at taking these juicy bits of information and moving them from person to person, and suddenly we find out that's a sin. That's not something we should be good at. We should learn how to be kind and gentle and not say things like that. Yeah, but that's kind of boring. I mean, what's there to talk about if we're going to talk about nice things about people? Well, over the years, that becomes easier. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but unto us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Now, clearly, from what we've just read in Proverbs, God is not going to destroy the wisdom of the wise. Wisdom is a wonderful thing. He's not talking about the wisdom of the Scriptures. Verse 20, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. That is a very convoluted sentence or paragraph, because it is pitting the wisdom of God against the wisdom of this world. The wisdom of what God says is good and just and honorable and right and the best way to do things and the way the world looks at it. And God is setting forth here, no matter how good you are at this wisdom, if it's the wisdom of this age, God is not going to be pleased with that. And no matter how comfortable we feel, and no matter how long we've been doing it, we need to take the Scriptures and determine whether it's wisdom or not. Because some people consider it wise to be able to cheat someone or to get something from someone. That's why, do you see how smart I was here? No, that wasn't. It wasn't wisdom. Just because we're good at something doesn't mean we are truly wise. Sometimes our self-esteem comes from things that we will ultimately be ashamed of. Sometimes the way we think about people, the way that we look at things, and we think we are wise, we think that this is the best way to do it. But God says this, let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool, that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. Now there's everything we've said up to this point. We seem to be wise in this age. We don't like to make the changes because we feel foolish. We feel like a fool because we can't do it very well. But let him become a fool so that we can learn how to do the things that make us truly wise. And so we need to go through our lives and make some assessments and try to figure out, what are these things that make me uncomfortable? Maybe I feel uncomfortable when I take the Lord's Supper because I can't do it well. And so I've created a way, as I say, we just think about one specific part. We think about somebody driving nails into somebody's hand and into their side and into their feet. But that's not wisdom. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. He wasn't talking about being nailed to a cross. He was talking about everything he did in that body. Leaving heaven. Sacrificing to come to this earth to take on a human body. Being humiliated, being mistreated, being scorned and mocked throughout his entire ministry. Enemies everywhere. That's what we think about. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool. Don't be afraid to try to do the things God says to do, even though you're not good at them. First time we try to talk to somebody about Jesus, we may feel like a fool. We may act like a fool. We may not be real happy with the way that interaction went because we're trying to shift from the wisdom of talking to people about physical things to the wisdom of talking to people about spiritual things. But God says, I want you to become a fool. Even though you feel foolish, even though you feel like this is not working, God understands that. There's a learning curve. There's a learning curve when we change from doing something we're comfortable with, something we know what we're doing, something that we feel good about ourselves for doing, to doing things we've never done before. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, though, because we are comfortable, we are competent, we are comfortable, we do know how to do it, it's been our lifestyle for our whole life and we feel very good about it, God says, set it aside. Feel foolish, relearn how to do it the right way, and then become wise. So, unlearning and relearning, that's how we gain true wisdom. Your obedience has become known to all. Therefore, I am glad on your behalf, but I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil. That is a difficult process to go through. From being wise in what is evil. And when we become a Christian out of the world, I realize some people were raised in a Christian home and they don't get so far into these foolish things, but those people who are raised in the world, they're very wise. God says, woe to those who are mighty to drink wine. How many people brag about their power to be able to drink? Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. Woe to those who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. They become wise in those things. And we have some wisdom like that. Areas where we know how to do things we shouldn't know how to do. And areas where we don't know how to do things that we need to learn how to do. So I'm glad, Paul says, about your obedience, but I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil. And then put off concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new man, which is created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. That's very uncomfortable. Being a new convert, things are thrown at us. We find out that this is wrong, and this is wrong, and this is how you need to do this, and we have to learn this, and we have to learn something else. The process is very difficult because it's very difficult to learn new ways. Most people can't handle more than one or two at a time. But as Christians, if we want to really be wise, we've got to take a look at what we're good at and what we're comfortable with and what we feel like we can do well, and compare it to the scriptures to see whether or not God's going to see that as wisdom or if we're going to be ashamed. There's a lot of people who are very wise who are going to be so ashamed on the final day. So unlearning and relearning Old things pass away when we become a Christian. There's so many things that are uncomfortable that we have to learn. Have to attend services. Have to learn the songs. Have to learn to find our place in the Bible. You know, sometimes you just go back and forth. You don't know where the books are. Just simple things. Things that you and I have become so accustomed with we can't even hardly remember. But that new converts struggle with. That we need to help them with. So if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. So trying to figure out what is the wisdom that I need to consider foolish and what is the folly that I need to consider wisdom. Uncomfortable, but it's growth. Now, this is the same verse, this is the same concept in a different verse. I won't read it. You can read it behind me. But let's look at Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world. We came out of the world. We learned how to talk, to fit in with the world. We learned how to live our lifestyle from the world. Became very good at it. We developed friendships with people, and our skill set around those people made us feel very comfortable in their midst. But they were evil companions, and they were corrupting our good morals. And when we made those tiny changes, we suddenly found that they didn't want to be our friends anymore, which is uncomfortable. And it tends to make us think we must be making a mistake, because usually when people don't want to be around us anymore, it's because we did something wrong. But in this case, we didn't. In this case, we did something right, but the darkness hates the light. And so the modifications, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's wisdom. We need to prove through the scriptures what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God and then become wise in doing those things. Praying, the first few times we pray, very uncomfortable. We feel very inept. We feel very foolish. But over time, we become more and more comfortable talking to God. And that's a wisdom that we really all need to cultivate, where we can talk to God. We feel confident talking to God. Among the most difficult steps in exchanging our folly for wisdom is identifying it. Most of us here in this room have things in our lives that shouldn't be there. We're really good at them, but they shouldn't be there. Our attitudes, our abilities to talk with people about things or manners or methods, the way we relate to people. Every sermon, every class that I preach is designed to bring back the curtain and help us to see our folly. And those who listen have the opportunity to become wise. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out seven pillars. She cries from the highest places of the city, "Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. Forsake foolishness and live, and go in the way of understanding. He who corrects a scoffer gets shame for himself. He who rebukes a wicked man only harms himself. Do not correct a scoffer, lest he hate you. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning." Now, let's break out some of these points that he's making here. If our response is anger, when someone points out something we're doing that is foolish, what does God call us? A wicked man, he who rebukes a wicked man only harms himself. He who corrects a scoffer gets shame for himself. If our response to people trying to help us see ourselves clearly is to scoff or to hate, brethren, think about it. Think about what that's saying about yourself. Think about how God sees you and I for doing things. Do not correct a scoffer, lest he hate you. Now, of course, that was good wisdom under the old covenant. Today, preachers reprove, rebuke, and exhort regardless of the response. But the response is a window into your soul. Your response. When somebody shows you something that you're doing that's not the right way, your response tells you who you are. And we need to learn to look for things in our life that aren't the way they should be. And other people can see it, but we can't. So often, the things that we are very comfortable, our personality set, the things that we grew up with, the things that make us feel good about ourselves, we shouldn't be ashamed of. Boy, it's hard. It's really hard. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. Are you wise? Am I wise? Just ask me, am I wise? Well, of course I'm wise. I can ask you, are you wise? Well, of course we're wise. But who is wise? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. Now that word meekness is very important to what we've said up to this point, because when somebody corrects us, we need to accept it with meekness. We don't want to just be conformed to our old ways. Now I want to spend just a minute on this idea of meekness, because it's not a word we use often in our language today. And when we use it, it usually carries a negative connotation. It's only in the scriptures that meekness is treated as a strength. And so we have to understand what exactly is it that is being described here. Now, I want to look at that second definition, Vine's definition. In English, meekness suggests weakness to a greater or less degree. But the meekness manifested by Jesus came from strength. He didn't turn the other cheek because he didn't have any choice. He turned the other cheek because he could have called for legions of angels. But he wanted to be meek. He wanted to be gentle. He wanted to be kind and friendly. So, in the wisdom of the world, meek people are weak. If you turn the other cheek, people are going to laugh at you. What's the matter? Are you sissy? You weak? Can't you stand up for yourselves? Aren't you a man? Aren't you a woman? If we feel weak when we turn the other cheek, if we feel weak when we are confronted and our response is kind and gentle, merciful and compassionate. Because as Jesus said, blessed are the meek. And he also said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Now the same James who said this also said, swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. When you and I are listening to a sermon, when we are reading the scriptures, when we are putting ourselves in a situation where we're opening ourselves up to criticism, because that's what a good sermon will do, if we need it. It will criticize the things we're doing that are wrong, and it will complement and strengthen those things that we are doing that are right. And there needs to be a meekness within us that leads us to respond with kindness, with gentleness, even if we don't agree. We don't respond sharply. Brethren, that's a tough habit to pick up. We don't want to be meek. We feel demeaned. If somebody mistreats me and I don't do anything, I'll walk away kind of regretting it, thinking to myself, I should have let them see that I'm strong. But God sees you as strong. So meekness of wisdom creates what I call a terrible paradox. It's not that we don't know we should respond meekly. We know we should turn the other cheek. We know we should go the second mile. We know that we should not respond with anger, with frustration. But it makes us feel small if we don't. Because of the human wisdom we grew up with, the human wisdom we learned on the playground, the human wisdom we learned at the workplace, the human wisdom that we learned growing up, that sissies don't stand up for themselves. And here's Jesus saying, wisdom leads you to not stand up for yourself. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. Now, without this meekness of wisdom, we're going to use a worldly wisdom. And so look at this verse and compare the wisdom that God sees with the wisdom that we found in the world and see where you're closer. If you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast or lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above. So we have this meek person over here, and then we have this self-seeking, selfish, boastful on the other side. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. Now, brethren, those are not good terms. To have a wisdom that God sees as earthly, sensual, and demonic is going to lead to great bitterness on our part in the last day. Verse 16, for where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. Let's break this down just a little bit. When we look at life to get what we can get, and we consider a great victory if we can get something over someone else, that's not a wisdom that God wants us to have. That's not how Jesus was. That's how his apostles were. Until he trained them out of it. As we're told by Paul, have this mind in you which was in Christ Jesus, who existing in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself and took the form of a servant. Most of us would really struggle with taking the form of a servant, because we feel demeaned. Because we were raised in a world where wisdom meant you win. Where wisdom meant you got. Where wisdom meant you came out on top. And it creates bitter envy if we don't come out on top. And it reveals our selfishness, our self-seeking. This wisdom does not descend from above. It's a wisdom that we're good at. Makes us feel good about ourselves, because we've always done it that way. So as we look at our wisdom and compare it with God's wisdom, we need to be prepared to make some changes. Uncomfortable, yes. Making us feel foolish sometimes? Yeah. Because you're relearning something that you've never done before and you don't know how to do it. And you make mistakes. And it's just so much easier just to stay the way we are. But that's not growth. Because the wisdom that is from above is first pure. And then interestingly enough, here's a lot of synonyms for meekness. peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, not because you have to, because you want to, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Now as you look at verse 17, and I look at verse 17, we have to make a decision. Do I want the wisdom that is from above? Or do I want this earthly, sensual, demonic wisdom that I grew up with and that I'm more comfortable with because it is what I do well, what I do best? This would be very difficult. This is something you'd really have to struggle to get. But God's waiting. The wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. God despises the wisdom of this world. And he loves those people who are willing to set that aside. Because on the judgment day, these will be the truly wise. And if you want to be in that company, then we have to make some changes now until this is my wisdom. I don't want this wisdom, bitter envy, self-seeking. This wisdom does not descend from above. But the wisdom that is from above. So, do you find yourself in this list or do you find yourself in the other list? Figuring that out is going to be very important. Because, as Paul said, let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool, that he may become wise. Sometimes our own pride is the biggest hindrance to our spiritual growth. Sometimes our inability to make ourselves uncomfortable, our inability to admit, I was wrong, to admit, I need to make some changes. That's the hardest thing for some people to do. But it's the heart of repentance. Repentance means you change your mind. You've got new facts, new information, have the truth. You see in your own mind that I don't have the truth, I'm not right. Then you say, I'm going to change it. No matter how uncomfortable it makes us feel. And there are some Christians that's their lifestyle. Constantly uncomfortable. Moving from what we were that we don't want to be, that caterpillar, into the spiritual butterfly. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so, brethren, as we leave this lesson, I hope that I've given us an ability to look in the mirror, the perfect law of liberty, to be able to see ourselves clearly, to want to see ourselves clearly, to want to go to the scriptures and look at it as a mirror so that we can see ourselves, no matter how uncomfortable, no matter how small, no matter how insignificant it makes us feel. It's the first step to becoming a fool so we can become wise. As we pick up our song of encouragement this morning, I don't know if anyone in this room has been rebuked or don't know if there's any scoffers out there. Don't know if there's any evil people who are pretty upset. Don't know if there's any people out there who are mocking and scoffing, saying that's ridiculous, even though it's right out of the Bible. But this is your opportunity to make some changes. This is your opportunity while we sing this song to reflect on the lesson and decide. Because if you don't do it today, by tomorrow you won't remember. So if we're going to make any changes, right now is the time. Now, it doesn't mean you have to come forward right now. It may not be that. It may just be a mental note. It may just be you're going to jot something down, take it home, and put it somewhere where you can read it enough times to remember it. But if we can be of any help to you this morning to obey the Lord, either by obeying the gospel and being baptized, or coming forward and confessing your sin, receiving forgiveness, if we can help you in any way, would you please come right now while we stand and sing?